Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary
with David Slack this morning. Morena, David, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank
That's
you, Richard.
Good.
So I was just thinking, Normess. Maybe Normess. You should say Normess.
Normess, maybe. who knows? I'm going to have to look it up later.
I used to be very confused about Bjork for a very long time. Bjork? I've never quite known how to say hers either.
You say like it's an E, I think.
Oh, yeah, right.
Bjork. Yeah. Well, we're talking to you not about Bjork this morning, but about a whole bunch of things that are going on in politics. Let's start with talking about cannabis, but we're also going to chat a little bit about foreign donations and Nationals' law and order discussion document. Cannabis referendum is the hot topic at the moment. Andrew Little has released the draft of the legislation going into referendum next year. What do you think about this? Are there any sort of strengths or weaknesses that you see?
I like that it's given effect to what the larger idea appeared to be, which is you're most assuredly likely to get a better outcome if you take it out of the hands of criminals and make it a health issue, and that is what this legislation gives effect to, so that's all good. You know, the status quo is not good. Unless you think the status quo is okay, you got to be in favour of a different regime, surely to God. Having said all that, the vulnerability I see in this is the fact that for under 20s, there is still illegality. So that principle we've talked about of taking it away from a criminal issue kind of remains. That makes it a vulnerable aspect of the legislation from the point of view of critics who will say, well,
I was just going to say, how does it differ then from I guess it's illegal to drink if you're under 18. How does it differ from that, I guess, then, David?
And it doesn't. and what's more, I think the crucial distinction, the strongest argument you can make is now that you have this regime that has a regulatory authority and a health dimension to it and can actually identify people having a problem, you have a much better prospect of dealing with all of the adverse consequences. You would hope that there'd be some soft peddling on any application of the criminal dimension of this, especially on the young people themselves. Mm-hmm. Maybe, and that would be maybe a job for the regulatory authority to figure out exactly, you know, where the administration can be done to the most advantageous effect. So in other words, we've talked about this in other issues, what gets measured gets managed. So because they're there looking at it and seeing, you know, what are kids now doing, how does this differ from what they're doing now? Because let nobody be under any misapprehension. Kids are getting baked all over the place.
This is the thing, isn't it, that people are saying, oh, well, you know, if you've got, what if your parents have a plant they're growing and then the kids get a hold of it? But that's sort of like, are you thinking that kids aren't smoking it now? Because
exactly.
That's
right. And if you get yourself a regime that can deal with it, that means that the schools are in a better position to look at, you know, the stoners who are going off to the park to get a hot box at lunchtime, all of that stuff. There's more, you can do something more about it without the whole thing having the current kind of no man's land where any school is probably just going to leave that aside as too hard.
Well, if it is similar to, I guess, if they treat it similarly theoretically to how it's treated for underage drinking and stuff, then perhaps it is easier to manage. I don't know. I'm wondering.
Possibly. This is problematic because kids love to experiment with any kind of thing that will take you out of it in some way, and they will do it as soon as they can. I can't believe I'm making an argument for Harold the Giraffe, because I can remember how all of you will remember
Harold
the derision
the
everybody had for that. And in fact, I'm so old I can remember when they launched that thing. I was working in the PM's office, and the experts then were saying, oh, this kind of stuff doesn't fly, actually. It's cute, but it's dumb. This is hard. But the whole question of people coming off the rails with addictive substances is tricky for a certain proportion of the population, and you've got to have a decent health regime that really looks in a clear-eyed way at it and draws on all of the experience from all around the world to do it right. But what is all that? That's a health issue. And yeah. that's the idea of this legislation, bring it away from criminality towards health. And to the extent that that happens for the kids as well, I think that's the right way.
Health and education as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a bit about foreign donations, because that's been another big one in the news cycle this week. So the government has announced that it's going to be banning foreign donations of more than $50. And this is something the Greens have lobbied for and a few other groups as well. Is it actually going to have much change? Is it actually a big impact? Or what's happening? Because it's being rushed through with urgency. What's all of this about?
As far as I can tell from what Andrew Little was saying, the point is that once you say you're going to do this, you have to have a door closed immediately. Otherwise, there you get some kind of last-minute rush.
Right.
And so something nefarious might potentially happen. So you do it this way. But you leave it open for the normal process of scrutiny to come back and maybe do a rearguard run on it, if necessary. We've got an enduring problem that has been played out a couple of ways in the last couple of months now, that tells us the funding of political parties is problematic whatever you do.
Yeah.
And it keeps looking like a really compelling argument for state funding.
Mm-hmm.
Or simply that only individuals can donate and you need to be registered for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I think I heard Andrew Geddes talking about that yesterday. Well, he tends to bring the best thinking on many of these matters to it. And if he thinks that's the best idea, I suspect it may well be. In other words, maybe you de-escalate the arms race. If nobody's got a lot of money to run a political party, nobody's disadvantaged. And so it just works on a rather more fundamental basis, especially, you know, bearing in mind we now have a connected online world that means you can campaign with not much cost at all if you want to. And maybe that's where things need to be directed. It doesn't necessarily need to take millions to mount an effective campaign. And if we could take that element out for everybody, we might be better off.
So you think that might be able to be a way we could bring a bit more transparency to it? Because something that people have pointed out is also an issue is the fact that there are kind of a lot of murky ways you can do domestic donations
as well. Right. Yeah,
so
you
sort of imagine maybe making it an individual and a registered thing might be a way forward.
It can only be done by a nominated person, and it needs to be transparent, and it needs to be on a relatively small scale, I think. What we do know is that if you have an outsized influence like the Koch brothers in America, you really do get a tilting of the scales in an anti-democratic way. You know what they've done by funding a whole lot of astroturfed climate denying organizations there has potentially imperiled the goddamn human race.
Yeah.
So it matters getting
this
matter, right.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit before we sign off about National's Law and Order discussion document, because they've been talking a lot about bringing in a special police force potentially to deal with gangs. Do you think that's going to work? Is that a sensible idea? What's your thoughts on that,
again,
David?
Again, I turn to the experts who say to a person, nah.
No.
And you know that this is just an exploitation of people's fear. This whole thing has a particular cynicism about it because they're both banging that drum of getting tough on gangs, which has been a political staple for 40 years now, and it's all predicated on the idea that somebody is a much greater threat to our society and to you individually than they actually are. And furthermore, they're actually saying this is just a discussion document, so they're not actually obliged to do any of this stuff.
Right.
They're just having the free run by doing the tub thumping.
So you think it might be a vote hustling exercise there?
That's exactly what it is, and it's it does nobody any favors because it creates fear and distrust where you do not need it. And it's a kind of a tilting towards the wrong issues at a time when, what have we got? We've got unaffordable housing, we've got a climate crisis, we've got a real uncertainty about the economic future. These are large issues we need to be grappling with, and all parties could be putting all their energy into it and still not be doing enough. So why go off in this distraction, except for the obvious reason they want to do something that gets a vote so they can come in and put their feet back up on the desk and do nothing about those things I just mentioned for another 9 years. Go and get stuffed.
Well, thank you very much, David Slack, for political commentary this morning. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time.
Always a pleasure to bring my unbiased view in, Rachel.
We love it. We love it. Thank you very much.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with David.